Okay, today's daf is Megillah daf Chaf Aleph. Today we're going to Be'ez Hashem finish the second parak and begin the third parak of Maseches Megillah. So the end of the second parak discusses all of those mitzvos that are done during the day, which we said are kasher kol hayom. We were in the middle of giving the sources for how we know that the list of mitzvos that are mentioned in the Mishnah on Chaf and Be'ez are actually done during the daytime. The Gemara is also going to discuss what the Mishnah is teaching me when it says zeh haklal, that the rule is that anything that's mitzvos biyom is kasher kol hayom. What does it teach me beyond what's listed in the Mishnah? And when it says zeh haklal, anything that's belayla, anything that's mitzvos belayla is kasher kol halayla, what's it teaching me beyond what's listed in the Mishnah? And then the beginning of the third parak is going to, the Mishnah is going to talk about some details of how to read the Megillah, but it's also going to transition into Kriyas HaTorah. How many Aliyos we read from the Torah at different times when we do Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara is going to discuss Kriyas HaTorah and learning Torah, whether it should be Ba'amida or be Yeshiva, and if Moshe Rabbeinu sat or stood when he learned Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There seems to be a stira in the Psukim, how Moshe Rabbeinu was positioning himself, and four different shitos as to how to resolve that contradiction. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to tell us the concept of being Mevarich over La'asyasin, that we say a bracha right before we do a mitzvah. It's going to show us how we know that that's the case, that we say brachas right before we do a mitzvah. And then the Gemara is going to talk about where the idea comes from, that there has to be a minimum of three aliyos and a minimum of 10 Psukim every time that we lane. So let's begin now with, we're at the bottom of the page on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, I think two lines from the bottom of the page, Ula Hashkoyas Sota. So we're giving the list of different things that are mitzvos and biyom, and therefore are kasher kol hayom. So one of them is La Hashkoyas Sota, to give the Sota, the Me'amarim, the Mei Sota, to give her a drink, to check if she is guilty of what she is accused of adultery. So Asya Torah Torah. It says Torah in both by Sota and somewhere else where it's clearly referring to the daytime. Ksiv Hacha, it says by Sota, Vasala Koin is called HaTorah Hazos, Uksiv Hasam, and it says elsewhere, Al Piat Torah Asher Yerucha V'Ala Mishpat, that it uses the term Torah in connection with the word Mishpat. So Ma Mishpat Biyom, Avkan Biyom, Mishpat always has to be during the day. The Bezin only sits during the day, so just like Mishpat is during the day, so too, by Sota, when it uses the word Torah, it's also Dafka Biyom, we're talking about something that's done only during the day. Ula Arifa Sa'egla, the Egla Arufa procedure is also only done during the day. The reason it's done during the day is because even though it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's somewhere in a random location between two cities where they happen to have found a dead body, but it does use the term kapara when it describes the Agla Rufa. So since it's a kapara, it's like kachim on that level, and just like kachim, our kabarnas are only brought during the day, the Agla Rufa is only done during the day. Well, the taras mitzora, the tara process of the mitzora to bring the bird kabarnas and the Yetzeres and the Ezel Shni Tolas, so that also is done during the day. Duchsiv Zos Tiet Torah Samitzora Biyom Taharaso. So Biyom Taharaso says that it's done during the day. Kol Laila Kasher L'Ksiras Omer. Then the Mishnah had said that throughout the night, the entire night is kosher to do the ktsira somer, the harvesting of the grain for the karban omer. Damar mar ktsira usfira belayla v'hava abayom. The harvesting and the counting of the omer is done at night, but the actual bringing of the karban omer is done during the day. Ulahekter chalav mevarim, and the burning of the fats and the limbs of the karbanos is done on the mizbeach at night. Dechsiv kol halayla ad aboker. Pasuk says explicitly all night until the morning. Zaklal, and the rule is, the Mishnah says, Davar shemitzvah sobiyom kasher kol hayom. Anything that the mitzvah is to do during the day, you can do it all day long. There's no specific time that it's supposed to be done, that it has to be done during the day. Meaning, even though generally speaking, there is a concept of zrizim makdim lemitzvah, so we certainly encourage doing it as early in the day as possible, but technically it's kasher kol hayom. So zaklal asuyemai. What's the zehaklal adding beyond what's already listed in the Mishnah? The Mishnah already gave me a whole bunch of mitzvos that are done during the day. Zaklal normally comes to tell me something else, something I don't know from the Mishnah. Salasuye Sidur Bazichin, the Siluk Bazichin. It's coming to tell me the arrangement and the removal of the Vazichi Levona on the Shulchan. The Shulchan held the 12 Lechem Apanim, but in addition to the 12 Lechem Apanim, it also held Shnei Vazichi Levona, the two spoons of spices that would be brought together with lechem apanim. It's part of that same carbon mincha of lechem apanim. So the sidur vazichin and the siluk vazichin could be done at any point during the day, and that's a chiddush because that only fits uk Rabbi Yossi. It only fits with Rabbi Yossi shita. The tanya Rabbi Yossi omer silek es hayishana shachris the sidur es hachadosha arvis ein bekach klum. That if you remove the old ones in the morning and you don't put the new ones on until later in the evening, later in the afternoon, that's no problem. That's fine. You can do it whenever you want. You don't need an immediate replacement right there on the shulchan. You could remove and replace much later. Umani mekayim lefanai tamid. What do I do with the pasuk that says lefanai tamid? Doesn't tamid imply that it has to be on the shulchan constantly? So it sounds like the Gemara shifted from a discussion of the vazichin to a discussion of the actual lechem, and that the two are connected with each other. So we're saying Rabbi Yossi's chiddush is that even the lechem, you're allowed to remove the lechem in the morning and replace the lechem later in the afternoon. What do I do with lefanai tamid? Shelo yeh shulchan below, shelo yolin shulchan, the Rishonim changed the girsa, that's Rashi's girsa, shelo yolin shulchan below lechem. Not that the shulchan can't be without lechem, but shelo yolin below lechem, that it shouldn't be overnight without lechem. So if you assume that the discussion of the vazichan is synonymous with the discussion of the lechem, which seems to be Rashi's understanding, and you'd have to change that girsa to shelo yolin, that the whole discussion is about the vazichan slash lechem. Rabbi Yossi holds even the lechem you could take off in the morning and put back the new ones later that day, and that's what he means, that it's kasher kolayom. What do we do with lefanai tamid? Not that the lechem has to be constantly on the shulchan, but that the shulchan can't go overnight without any lechem. The Achronim raised the question that one could have said that it's even going like the Chachamim, that you can't leave the shulchan without lechem even for a moment, but it's still kasher kalayom, meaning all it would be saying is that you can do that replacement of the old lechem with the new lechem at any point during the day that you want to, that there's no specific time during, it doesn't have to be done early in the day. Why do we have to lock it in dafka according to Rabbi Yossi and assume that it's not going like the Chachamim? So in the Yad HaMelech commentary on the Rambam, he explains that based on the Machlokas Tanaim, Sechus Psachim Daf Nun Ches, is Machlokas Tanaim where the Haktaras HaVazichim comes before the Karban Musaf. And this would explain why we have the conversation over here with regard to Vazichim and not with regard to Lechem, if the two go hand in hand, if the two are the same. There's a Machlokas Tanaim where the Haktaras HaVazichim is before the Karban Musaf, or the Karban Musaf comes before the Haktaras HaVazichim. The Vazichim is the Levona together with the lechem apanim. When they would remove the lechem apanim, they'd be maktir the levona. They would take the shnei vazichei levona and they would burn it. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you could be mesalik the lechem apanim in the morning without putting the new lechem apanim on right away. So it turns out that the arrangement of the lechem apanim could be done all day. But according to the chachamim, that you have to be mesalik and mesader at the same time. So it turns out that it's talui in that machlokas because if you hold that the vazichin come before the karban musaf, so you can't be mesader the new bezichin after the carbon musaf is over. You have to do it right before the carbon musaf. I mean, according to the chamim, that whenever you take off the old, the new has to be placed right away. And you're going to need to be maktir the bezichin before the carbon musaf. So all of this is going to have to be done before the carbon musaf. The whole replacement is going to have to be done before the carbon musaf, which means it's not really kosher kalayom. It's only kosher until the carbon musaf. Now, if you happen to hold musaf and kodmin, then ain't a chinami. Then you could have said, even like the chachamim, that it's kosher kalayom and that it's perfectly fine. And now our sugya is assuming, like the Tana, that bezichin is kodmin l'musafin. That must be what our sugya is assuming. Or we want to fit even according to the Tana that bezichin is kodmin l'musafin, and that's why we say according to Rabbi Yossi, you could go even like the Tana that bezichin is kodmin l'musafin. So the mitzvah Eisen in the back of the Gemara says, and based on this, it's miyashiv the Rambam beautifully. The Rambam, the fourth parak of Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, quotes our Mishnah's zehaklal that davar shemitzvos b'yom is kosher kolayom. But he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yossi about the seed of Vazichin. He paskins like the Chachamim. Meaning our Gemara says that the Zeh Klal is only to teach me if you hold like Rabbi Yossi. But it wouldn't fit with the Chachamim. So how could the Rambam paskin the Zeh Klal and then paskin like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi? So says Mitzvah, and it's beautiful because the Rambam holds that the Musafin is coming with Vazichin. The Vazichin don't have to come before the Karban Musaf. The Musaf can come before the Vazichin. And that could fit even according to the Shita of the Chachamim. So with all the moving parts, if everything aligns, the Rambam could hold, not like Rabbi Yossi, still hold like the Zeh Klal, because he holds that the Vazichin could come even after the Karban Musaf, and therefore, even according to the Chacham, it's Kasher Kalayom to do the Sidur of the Vazichin. That also would be Kasher Kalayom. The Mishnah went on to say that anything that the mitzvah is to do at night, it's kosher to do all night long. What does that come to teach me? That's coming to tell me about eating the Korban Pesach, that you can eat the Korban Pesach all night. And that's to tell me not to say like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya Vachlas Abasa Belayla Azeh. Am Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Nemer Kan Belayla Azeh Nemer Laalan Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim Belayla Azeh. It says Belayla Azeh when it comes to Korban Pesach, and it says Belayla Azeh when it comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu going through Eretz Mitzrayim and killing the Bechoros by Makas Bechoros Belayla Azeh. So Malalan Ad Chatzos Avkan Ad Chatzos. So just like over there, it's Ad Chatzos. So to over here, it's also Ad Chatzos. So that's what Elazar ben Azariah sheet is, that you cannot eat the Korban Pesach Kol Laila, you can only eat it Ad Chatzos. So our Mishnah is telling me, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, our Mishnah is telling me, like the Chamim, that you can eat the Korban Pesach all night long, that they reject this drasha that links the Korban Pesach together with Makas Bechoros in terms of the timing of the Korban Pesach. Says Tosos, even though our Mishnah is against Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mikol Makom Nira Da Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar. There's a stam mishnah maseches psachim that assumes like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So if you're given an option of a stam mishnah maseches megillah or a stam mishnah maseches psachim, and the topic is a Pesach related issue, you'll always choose the stam mishnah maseches psachim on a Pesach related issue over a stam mishnah maseches megillah on a Pesach related issue. And not only that, v'chem mishnah beizum mekoman in mishnah's Vachim, where we deal with Kachim, also it assumes like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Stam b'sof parakam of the brachos kabi ma'isu banav shomrim liyom nivesa mishta amalem kol ma'ashomrim chamar chatzos mitzvos nashi elam l'shachar vilu achilas psachim lo katani. And also in the mishnayos and brachos where it says that everything that we're the chachamim limit us to chatzos, that's only a din midrabanan, but normally on most of those things on a daraisa level you could do all night, and Korban Pesach is not on the list of things that midar Raisa, you could do all night, and it's only midrabanan ad chatzos. Assuming the Mishnah seem to be assuming in brachos that Korban Pesach midar Raisa can only be done ad chatzos. Again, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So therefore, says Tosos, this is halacha lemaisa. Even though we don't have Korban Pesach anymore, it's still halacha lemaisa. How so? V'im kein tzorich lemaher lechol matzah b'lei lipsachim kodem chatzos va'afilu matzah shalafi komin shayachiv matzah b'zman azeh v'dar Raisa. Of Bahal Shalach Rabbi Komen in Lahakmer Kol Kach Shari Midrabanenu. He says, certainly matzah we have to finish by chatzos, even the afikomen we have to try to finish by chatzos, and not only that, lechadchila we should finish halal by chatzos also, but halal is not going to be as serious if we don't finish it by chatzos, because that's only midrabanen, but matzah is da'oraisa, it's our only mitzvah sachila da'oraisa bizman hazeh, matzah is da'oraisa, so we have, because we don't have a chitz kachem anymore, so matzah is da'oraisa, we should finish that by chatzos certainly, and that's certainly what we try to do. Now, the limud is an interesting limud. The limud the Gemara has to tell, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has to tell me to do it by chatzos, is from the fact that the Makas Becharos happened by Chatzos, that before Chatzos, the Chatzos was the deadline for Makas Becharos. Problem is, that's not the way Makas Becharos worked. It wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was killing the Becharim Mitzrayim all night and he stopped at Chatzos, that it was that Chatzos was the deadline. No, it was precisely at Chatzos. So the Tzlach already points out in Maseches Brachos that you can't ask the Kasha that we should learn from this Gezeirah Shavah that we should do the Achilas Matzah Dafka at Chatzos. He said, good luck figuring out when exactly is Chatzos. How you can eat a Kezayis in a moment of Chatzos? It's impossible. So it has to be that the Lo Nit Torah L'Malachi Ashares, that we have some leeway, that we're allowed to eat it up until Chatzos. But the Avnei Nezer, famously in a tshuva, it's a well-known tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, where he tries to figure out how it is that we can have a long siddurim that go past Chatzos and not violate this halacha. So the Avnei Nezer says, no, the din is at Chatzos, but the din is not that you have to eat the matzah at Chatzos, the din is that you need tam matzah bepiv at the moment of Chatzos. So at that very moment of Chatzos, you need tam matzah bepiv, and that's all you need in order to fulfill the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So says the Avnei, and he says it's got to be that way because we're learning from Makas Becharos, which was at a moment of Chatzos. It obviously can't be telling me to eat at that moment, so it must be telling me you need tam matzah bepiv at that moment. So based on that, the Avnei Nezer suggests his famous Tanai. He says that if you want to fulfill the mitzvah properly according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and still have a seder that goes on later where you can eat matzah further on. So he says, Mistama, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, as long as you have that tam matzah pivat chatzos, you're good. And then after that, there's no issur of eating. Ein maftir nachar pesach avikomen is only so long as you're still within the zman of the achilas matzah. So you shouldn't eat something else because that's going to take away the tam matzah from your mouth. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you have to have at the moment of chatzos, you need the tam matzah remaining bepiv, but then you want to eat later on, that's fine also. And according to the chachamim, you need tam matzah bepiv at the end of the night. You just can't be mafter achar pesach hafikomen. But what's happening at chatzos doesn't matter. So he says, what you could do is very simply, make it tonight. 2 minutes before chatzos, wherever you're up to, make it tonight, that you eat a kazayis of matzah and say, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is correct, this is my afikomen, and therefore I'm about to have tam matzah bepiv at chatzos. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and then I'll be allowed to eat after chatzos, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria shouldn't mind if I eat after chatzos. And if the halach is like the chum, this is not my afikomen will be later on in the seder at the very end. And that's how the Avnei Nezer suggests. A lot of the Achronim aren't thrilled with the Tanai of the Avnei Nezer, because he has a couple of chidushim in his line of thinking. First of all, that the whole din is a din of tam matzah bepiv, and not a din of achila before by the time chatzos comes. Second, that ein maftir nachar pesach afikomen means, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, only until chatzos. Maybe the achila has to be before chatzos, but the ein maftir nachar pesach afikomen, I mean, the fact that you can't have dessert, that you can't have something, maybe that goes all night. How do we know that it only goes until chatzos? So a lot of the achronim aren't so thrilled with the Avnei Nezer, but some are. Rav Pam writes in one of his svarim that it's kedai to be somech on the Avnei Nezer b'makom shalom bayis. That a lot of times what happens at people's sedarim is that a woman spends all this time preparing for the seder and cooking and whatever, and there comes time for the Shulchan Aruch, and everyone's like, oh, we got to rush, we got to get through the Shulchan Aruch quickly because we have to make it by chatzos. And she feels terrible. She worked so hard, and now everyone's rushing through the whole meal. So Rav Pam said that's why the Avnei Nezer came, and he taught us in Eitzah for shalom bayis that you should be somech on the Avnei Nezer. Okay, hadron lach akorim. Now we move on to the third parak of Maseches Megillah. Says the Mishnah, Koreis HaMegillah Omeid V'Yoshev. One could read the Megillah standing up or sitting down. You have the option of reading the Megillah whichever position one wants to choose. Now the Pnei Yeshua says it's Mashma from our Mishnah that just like the Kriya could be B'Miyushev, the Brachos on the Megillah can also be B'Miyushev. And he says this must be unlike the Bracha on Shofar and Tzitzis, where the Beis Yosef writes that Brachos HaMitzvos generally need to be mu'uma, need to be said standing up, because it's only a mitzvah, says the Pnei Yeshua, only a mitzvah that you do standing up, be'ikr, has to be the bracha standing up as well. But something that the mitzvah doesn't have to be done standing up, the bracha doesn't have to be done standing up either. That is the chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua, and he says he therefore wonders about the Magen Avram's kashin, Simon Ches, in the beginning of Hilchos Tzitzis, the Magen Avram raises the question, why is it that by the bracha of challah, the bracha Birchas HaMitzvah, Nafrashas Challah, that it can be done b'miyushav, that it can be done sitting down. It's a Mishnah, Maseches Challah. The Mishnah says that Isha Mafrisha Yosheves, that a woman is allowed to be Mafrish Challah when she's Aruma, when she's not dressed, because she could sit, and if she sits on the ground, the Erva is covered by the ground itself, as opposed to a man, when he's Yoshev, his Erva is not covered by the ground, so he can't be Mafrish, so while not clothed, a man has to be clothed while being mafresh challah, but the assumption is that hafreshes challah could happen while sitting down. So it says the Pnei Yeshua, what's the problem with that? You could say the bracha of hafreshes challah while sitting down. You could do the mitzvah of hafreshes challah while sitting down. So that shouldn't be troubling at all. So the Pnei Yeshua says he doesn't understand the Magen Avraham's kasha. The rule is not that birchas mitzvahs have to be standing. The rule is that when a mitzvah is done standing, the bracha on that mitzvah should be done standing as well. But not that just in general that brachas have to be done standing. Sfas Emes disagrees. He says that from our Mishnah, there's no raya at all that the brachos are done miyushav, because it could be that we're just talking about the Megillah, that the kriyas of Megillah could be done by miyushav. The brachos maybe enochinami have to be done mu'umad like every other birchas mitzvah. The kasha of the Magen Avram He says from the klal that the post can bring in the Yerushalmi that kol birchas hamitzvos need to be ba'amida. So the Magen Avraham says, I don't understand. If all birchas hamitzvos need to be ba'amida, why should challah be any different? And that's a very good kasha. However, he says, according to the Magen Avraham, that kol birchas hamitzvos need to be ba'amida, the difficulty that we're going to have, says Fasemes, is in the bracha on achilas matzah, the bracha leisha basuka, the minhag ha'olam is that those are done by yeshiva. So there's got to be something, there's got to be some rule where some birchas mitzvahs don't need to be done. So Pnei Yeshua gave you a rule. The Sfasemes didn't like the rule. Pnei Yeshua said, whenever the mitzvah is done ba'amida, the bracha is done ba'amida. But the Sfasemes wasn't thrilled with that rule, but there's still got to be some exceptions to the idea of birchas mitzvahs ba'amida. The Iyun Yaakov writes al derech drash over here that when we say that Koreas HaMegillah Omed V'Yoshev, the reason that we do the Megillah in either position Omed V'Yoshev is because the Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah that Kodesh Baruch Hu is done the Umos HaOlam B'Yeshiva and he's done Klal Yisrael Ba'amida, and the Megillah was both a judgment for Haman Ubanav and for the Jewish people of that generation, and therefore we're merames to that by allowing yeshiva and amida and kriyas hamegillah to let it be known that this was a judgment for everybody, both for Klal Yisrael and for the Umos HaOlam. Weiter in the Mishnah, Kara Echad Karua Shnayim Yatsu. If one person reads the Megillah or two people read the Megillah, that's fine. Now we're assuming over here it means two people reading at the same time, not splitting the reading, although that would be fine as well. But it's saying even two people reading at the same time, it's going to be clear in the Gemara, that's what it's referring to, Yir Yotzei. Makom Shnagu Levarich Yivarich, Vishalo Levarich Lo Yivarich. A place where the minig is to say a bracha on Kriyas HaMegillah, so you say a bracha. If the minig is not to, so don't say a bracha. The Gemara is going and explain this time about the bracha after the Megillah. The bracha before the Megillah, that's not optional. That's a birchas mitzvah like you have by any other mitzvah. But typically, most mitzvahs don't have a bracha after the mitzvah. That's dependent on minhag. B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos b'mincha, now we get into Kriyas HaTorah in general. On Monday and Thursday, and on Shabbos mincha, Korin Shlosha, we read three Aliyos. Ein pochsin men vein mosipin alein, we can't do any less, we can't do any more than three Aliyos. Vein maftirin benavi, and there's no haftorah at Shabbos Mincha. Haposech v'achosim b'torah mevarech l'fanel l'achrecha. And the brachos for Aliyos are made by the first Ola makes the bracha before laning, the last Ola makes the bracha after laning, and that's it. Not like we do nowadays, where every Ola makes a bracha before and after laning, it's just one bracha before, one bracha after. Rosh Chodesh m'chol shomoyed korin arba'a, ein pochsim men vein mosipin alein. On Rosh Chodesh m'chol amoyed, there are four Olim to the Torah, no more, no less. Ve'in maftirin b'navi, there's no haftorah. Haposech and again, the first Ola makes the first bracha, last Ola makes the last bracha, no brachos in between. Any day that has a musaf but isn't a Yom Tov, like Rosh Chodesh, you would have four aliyos. Be Yom Tov Chamisha. On a Yom Tov, we actually lane five aliyos. Be Yom Kippurim Shisha. On Yom Kippur, we lane six aliyos. Be Shabbos Shiva. And on Shabbos, we lane seven aliyos. Ein pochsin mehen, avol mosifin alehen. We don't do any less than that, but we do add to the seven aliyos on Shabbos if we need to, but no less than seven aliyos on Shabbos. Umaftirin benavi, and on Shabbos we do haftarah as well. Haposech v'achosin b'torah mevarich lefnei l'achreha. And the first olam makes the first bracha, the last olam makes the last bracha. None of the other olam make a bracha in between. So the obvious question, anyone reads this Mishnah, you know, that jumps out at you, is it says the same thing three times. It says that when there's a series of aliyos, that the first guy makes the first bracha, the last guy makes the last bracha, and no one else makes a bracha in between. Why does it have to say it three times? So Tosos noticed this. Tosos in Dibra Maschal Poseach. Kasha, amai tana hach mil sahacha, gimel pamim, dabachad ziv nasagya. Most of the time, if you tell me something once, I'll listen. You don't have to say it three times. V'yeshlomer davasalka daitach, dekol detavi milsa, mechavrei, mevarich lefaneo lacharea, mishum hachi yitzrich lemissin bekulu. Because one might have thought that once we're adding aliyos, now we're going to have to add brachas as well. But yeah, when you have three aliyos, that's when you only have one bracha before and bracha after. But what about if you have four aliyos? So you have to say, okay, no, even when you have four aliyos, just one. What about when you have seven aliyos, even when you have seven aliyos, so you have one before, one after. So the Acharim discuss, really you could have told it to me twice then. You could have told it at the beginning and at the end. Why does it need to be told three times? Okay, the discussion in the Acharim. The answers in general I didn't find nearly as strong as the question of why the Mishnah has to repeat this three times. Now Rashi says the reason why we have these numbers of aliyos. He says on Sheni v'Chamishi you can't add to the number of aliyos because everyone, you don't want to be mivatal the ami malach. Everyone's going to work and everyone has to make the train or whatever, so they have to get there on time. So you can't have a long laning on Monday and Thursday. Shabbos mincha, it's samach l'chashecha already. You don't want to go into nighttime. And Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, there's also bittul malacha because even on Chol HaMoed, davar avid is mutter to do on Chol HaMoed. So there's certain malachos that are mutter. Sounds from Rashi that at the end of the Mishnah, when we say at the very end, the ein pochsin man aval mosifin aleihem, that you're allowed to add to the aliyos, that that's not only going on Shabbos. It's going on any time where there's no other reason not to have a long laning. For example, on Yom Tov, on Yom HaKippurim, that those days also you could be mosif if you want. That's what it sounds from Rashi. Meaning each time you can't be mosif, he gives a reason why there's a rush and you can't be mosif, why everybody you need to finish on time. But there is no reason for Yom Tov. There is no reason on Yom Kippur. So it sounds like that last line of Aval Mosif and Aleihem is going on not just Shabbos, but Yom Tov and Yom Kippur as well. The Ran quotes B'Shem Acherim, that the reason we're not Mosif B'chol is that we don't want a regular weekday, a Monday or Thursday, to look like Rosh Chodesh. And that's why you can't add to more than three aliyos on a Monday and Thursday. Not because of malacha. You don't want it to be confused with Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh you can add because you don't want it to look like a Yantif. Now it stands to reason, according to the Ran, on Yantif you can't add because you don't want it to look like Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur you can't add because you don't want it to look like Shabbos. But Shabbos you're allowed to add Mosif and Aleihem because there's nothing above it. There's no greater Kedusha that it might look like. So that's how the Ran would understand that the last line of a Mosif and Aleihem is going only on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur as well. That's what Chassam Sofer says, that one time in the shul there were three chassanim in the shul, and one of them was a Kohen and two of them were Yisraelim, and it was a Monday Thursday that they were doing the where they only lay three aliyos, and the Riva allowed them to add on Monday and Thursday an extra aliyah in order to accommodate both Yisraelim, both Kohanim, chassanim who were Yisraelim, even though it was Monday and Thursday, because Yom Tov Shalahemhu. It's their personal Yom Tov. And therefore, since it's a Yantif, they're allowed to lay more than three aliyos. So they all wondered, so what is it's their Yantif? If the point that you're not allowed to lay more than three aliyos is Bitul Ami Malacha, so it's still going to be Mvatul the Ami Malacha. Everyone else is going to work. So, and they obviously had a minion there. So it's still going to be Mvatul the Ami Malacha. Who cares that it's their Yom Tov? But maybe if you say, like the Ran, that the whole idea is that you don't want it to look like it's a that you don't want it to look like it's a yantiv. Maybe that's a din in the korei, that the person who's korei, that it's it is a yantiv. Adraba, you could add because the taka is a yantiv for them. So that's what some sofer suggests, that maybe that riva fits better with the Ran than it does with shitas Rashi. Yeah, the Gemara is going to discuss. The Gemara will talk about tainus at length. So the Asifa Sekedim also raised a very interesting question. We're going to say later on, the Mishnah is going to say in Daf Lamed Aleph that we're not mafsikin beklolos, that in the middle of the tocha, in the middle of the klolos, we don't stop in the middle. And the reason is, the Gemara says, the Reish Lakish says in the Gemara Lamed Aleph and Beis, because you don't say a bracha on klolos. But according to our Mishnah, three separate times, you don't say a bracha in the middle of aliyos anyway. So what's the Eidmav Sikim B'Klolos? So that's a strong kasha. We'll have to discuss it when we get there. Also, it could be the Toz Yantav writes the minug that they give that maftir zuchashva aliyah might come, that the last aliyah zuchashva aliyah might come from this halacha, that he's other than the Kohen, the only one that would ever be able to make a bracha is the last aliyah. So it could be that that's how it's nishtarviv a minug, that even when the minug changed that we make brachas by every aliyah, that's how it became the most chashva aliyah. Others suggest, the Toz Yantav suggest that others say that no, it's the most chashva aliyah because it used to be that the last one that was old would also be Golel, the Sefer Torah, and the Golel is Notel Schar Keneged Kulam, so that's why it's the most Chashva Aliyah. Okay, says the Gemara, Torah, Masha Einkin B'Torah, this idea that you could read the Megillah, standing, sitting, yeah, that's true of Megillah, but not by Torah. Minani, not by Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah has to be standing. Minani, how do we know this? Amar Rabbi Avoh, Amar Kra, Vata Po, Amod Imadi. It's as if the Torah is telling us that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be standing or was standing. How do I know that the Rebbe shouldn't sit on a couch and teach his students who are sitting on the ground? That there should be dafka din of amida to during learning time. In Kriyas HaTorah, there's the tzibur is not chayiv to stand according to the Shulchan Aruch, but the Rama quotes Yesh Machmirim that the tzibur stands by Kriyas HaTorah. The Taz says that we should be machmir even meikar adin because Moshe was shomea the Torah mu'umad. But again, this is the pasha pshat of the Gemara. We're not talking about Kriyas HaTorah. We're talking about just learning Torah in a sheer context. Tan Rabbanan mi most Moshe v'Adram Gamliel lo yilmeid in Torah el mu'umad. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of Rabbi Gamliel, they would always stand when they would learn Torah. Mishemes Rabbi Gamliel yored cholili alom. When Rabbi Gamliel died, illness descended on the world. Vayilamed in Torah miyushav, and they used to learn Torah sitting down. Vahenu d'tanan. That's what the Mishnah says. Mishemes Rabbi Gamliel batal kavod Torah. That once Rabbi Gamliel died, kavod Torah was gone. So what does it mean? Kavod Torah was gone. It means people sat when they learned Torah. That's the kavod Torah that we're referring to. That was gone. Tosfos in Maseches Bechoros quotes from Yerushalmi, Bechoros Daf Lam Vav quotes from Yerushalmi that darshan's from a pasuk that va'amdu shnei anashim, that it says with a vav that someone who's shoel a shaila in halachos and agados has to stand. And the Tzlach says that even though after Gamliel died there was already choli that was bali olam and therefore everyone sat down, he says that just means that you have a reshus to sit down. But those who really want to express great kavod Torah should even be standing. La halachos Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Mem Vav Sif Yud Gimel that we are not shovel mu'umad and we are not meshiv mu'umad. We do everything sitting down. The Rama says yesh omrim kishasholim dvar alacha tzorach lamud. The Rama quotes yesh omrim that you should dafka stand when you're shovel dvar alacha as a way of showing kavod Torah. They say that when Rav Shlomo Zalman would get a phone call from Rav Moshe Feinstein he would stand the entire conversation. He would stand up as soon as Rav Moshe would call and put on his hat. Everything he would show kavod Torah that. He was talking to Rav Moshe, even though Rav Moshe wasn't even there. But Pasha says it was proper Kavod HaTorah. Could have been that was Kavod HaTorah for Rav Moshe, not just Kavod HaTorah for the Torah itself. But when you're encountering the Mesorah in that way, that you're dealing with someone who's Gadol Mimenu, and there weren't many that Rav Shlomo Zalman could have honestly considered Gadol Mimenu, so he would stand up. So Rav David Willig just told me that one time. Rav Shlomo Zalman had a shaila in Zraim, some Eretz Yisrael related issue, and he sent a shaila to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe sent it back with someone who was going to Eretz Yisrael. I forgot who he said was the one that was bringing it back. So the person brought the tshuva, and he called up Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said, "I'll bring it by tomorrow. I'll bring you the tshuva tomorrow." Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm staying at this." 10 minutes later, Shlomo Zalman shows up to get the tshuva, and he says, on the spot, he reads through the whole tshuva, and he says, this is unbelievable. He says, I'm the Baal Malacha here. I'm the Posek in Eretz Yisrael. I'm supposed to know Zerayim better. His Bekiyas is unbelievable, how he knows that. Kol Chidre Torah, Kol Raz Lo Anislai. It's just, he was totally misspoiled by Rav Moshe, as everyone was. People sometimes forget, there's so many Bar Pluktas Rav Moshe has. People forget what Rav Moshe was. It wasn't, and how the rest of the Torah world viewed him. Anyway, so Mishmei Rav Gamliel batal kavod Torah. Kasev Echad Omer ve'eshe Bahar. Kasev Echad Omer ve'anochi amadeti Bahar. One pasuk says ve'eshe Bahar that Moshe Rabbeinu sat by the mountain when he learned Torah. The other one says that he amadeti Bahar, that he stood. So which is it? Four explanations. Number one, Amar Rav omed velomed yoshev v'shona. He stood while he learned, but when he chazed over, he sat down. Rabbi Chanina Amar lo omed velo yoshev v'lashocha. He neither stood nor sat. He leaned a little bit. He bent over a little bit. Rabbi Yochanan Amar ein yeshiva l'loshana. No, Yoshev doesn't mean to sit. Yoshev means to stay somewhere. Shenemar v'teishu b'kadosh yamim rabim doesn't mean that they all sat while they were in Kadosh for many days. It means that they stayed there to dwell. It's like pasukos teishvu. It doesn't mean to sit in the sukkah. It means to live in the sukkah. Rava amar rakos mu'umad b'koshos miyushav. It depends what kinds of things he was learning. When he was learning easier topics, he would stand up. When he was learning harder topics, he would sit down. It's unbelievable. The Ribbono Shel Olam obviously gave Moshe Rabbeinu some superhuman strength. 40 days, 40 nights on top of a mountain, lechem lo achalti. He didn't eat anything, he didn't drink anything, but he didn't have the koach to stand while he was learning the harder things. How's that? Of course he had the koach to stand, but obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell us that the way we're supposed to act toward Torah, that when it comes to the easier things, so that we could do when we're listening in the car or whatever, when we're in a different context where it doesn't require absolute focus. But those things that require absolute focus, so we should make sure that we're in a context where we're able to totally focus. One person reads from the Torah, two people read from the Megillah, rather, your Yotzei. So Tana Masha Ein Kein B'Torah. This is not true by Kriyas HaTorah. By Kriyas HaTorah, you can only have one person read. Tana Rabbanan, B'Torah Echad Kori V'Echad Metargim, Ublevat Shalei Echad Kori Shnayim Metargim. With Torah, you have one person reading, one person Metargim. You cannot have two people being Metargim the Torah. But Navi, Echad Kori V'Shnayim Metargimin, Ublevat Shalei Shnayim Kori V'Shnayim Metargimin. By the Navi, you have one person reading, you can even have two people being Metargim, but you can't have two people reading. Ublevat Shalei Megillah, Afilu Asar Kori V'Asar Metargimin. By Halal and Megillah, you can even have 10 people reading and 10 people being Metargim. Rashi takes out the words Vasar Metargim because there is no Targum for Ksuvim. We had that was the Gemara in Daf Gimel and Aleph, that they wanted to, they wrote the, Yonos and Ruzil wrote the Targum for Navi, and there was a massive earthquake, and he wanted to write the Targum for Ksuvim as well, but the Baskel came out and said, no, you already did enough, no Targum for Ksuvim. Tosa says, no, so Yonos and Ruzil didn't write a Targum for Ksuvim, but we do have Targum on Ksuvim, so what's the big deal? It could be Asar Metargim as well. There may not be an official Targum, but there is some Targum. My time, why is it though that when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, we allow multiple people to read simultaneously, whereas when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, only one person is allowed to read? Kivan de Chaviva Yavi Dataya Vishami. Since Kriyas HaMegillah is so beloved, everyone's all excited about Kriyas HaMegillah, people will be able to focus better, and therefore they'll be able to listen. So what does that mean? Normally we have a rule, Trei Kali La Mishtami, that you can't hear two voices simultaneously, but apparently something that's Chaviv, something that's very beloved to a person, you're going to be able to hear two voices simultaneously. The Ran writes that Bizmanenu, we're knowing that two people do read even by Kriyas HaTorah. The Shliach Tzibur reads out loud, and the Ola is supposed to read along with the Shliach Tzibur from the Torah at the same time. And he says, just like what the Mishnah says in Bikurim. The Mishnah in the third paragraph of Bikurim says, by the Mevi'a Bikurim, that it used to be anyone who knew how to read the Parshas HaBikurim would read it, anyone who didn't wouldn't say it, and then people stopped reading Bikurim because it became embarrassing that someone had to read the Parsha for them. So therefore, they were mesakein that someone reads it for you, no matter who you are, even if you know how to read it. So the same thing with Kriyas HaTorah. It used to be every Ola would read the Torah himself, but it became embarrassing for people who didn't know. So the Ran says, but wait a second, how can you compare this to Bikurim? The Rush rather points out. The Rush points out in Mesach's Bikurim. How can you compare this to Bikurim? Over there, the Rush over here rather, over there by Bikurim, since they didn't know how to read, they stopped doing the mitzvah, they stopped bringing Bikurim. So what are you going to do? People are not going to stop coming to shul. You'll give them an aliyah, and those who don't know how to read will be more motivated to learn how to read. So the Rush says, no, that's not the concern. The concern is not that people aren't going to come to shul or that people won't do the mitzvah. The concern is that people will read. They won't know how to read, and they're going to think they know how to read, and they're going to read. That's the concern. That's the issue with the reason why we make sure that we have a Bal Kore designated to read, because he's the person that knows how to read, and everyone else who only thinks they know how to read just reads along together with the Bal Kore. Now Tosfos over here points out also that the Mashenkin Batorah, that by Torah there's only one person that reads. He says this is difficult because the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra says at the end of the first paragraph of Bava Basra that the Shmona Psukim Shabbatorah Yachid Kore Yosam, the last eight Psukim of the Torah is only read by a Yachid. And one of the interpretations that the Rishonim give of Yachid Korei Osam is that you don't have a second person reading along. But in Medina de Gemara, you never had a second person reading along. So why is it only the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah that Yachid Korei Osam? It's all of Torah that's only Yachid Korei Osam. So Tosfos points out this is a major kasha on that Shita in Rishonim. There are many other Shitas of what Yachid Korei Osam might mean. It might mean that you don't split it up into two Aliyos. It might mean that you have a very special Talmud Chacham read the last eight pesukim of the Torah, something like that. Malkam shnagul levarich yivarich. Where the minigus say a bracha, we say a bracha. Amar Rabbi lo shanu alachrei v'lefnei mitzvah. That's only the bracha after the Megillah. But bracha before the Megillah, you have to say mitzvah levarich. Amar Rabbi Dom Shmuel kol mitzvahs klum varich aleinu v'las yasan. All mitzvahs you say a bracha before doing them. My mashma dai over lishan dakdu mehu. How do I know that the word over means before? Amar Rabbi Nachman Yisrael Amar Krav Vayaretz Achimatz Derech Hakika Vayavar Sakushi. It says Vayavar Sakushi means he got there before him. Abayi Amar Mehachav Hu Avar. Kvar Lifneim. Again, means getting there before. So you see in three different places in Tanakh, the word over means before. So we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. What's the bracha Megillah before reading the Megillah? That he made the brachas, the three brachas with the mnemonic Mem Nun Ches, Al Mikra Megillah, Shasanisim, and Shechianu. Lachre, my Mavarich, what's the bracha that we make after reading the Megillah? So, Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam, Haravis, Rivenu, Vadonis, Dinenu, Vanokim, Misnukim, Asenu, Vanifalon, Mitzurenu, Vamishal, Migmul, Cholev, and Avshenu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Anifal, Yisrael, Mikol, Tzarehem. That's the bracha after the Megillah. Beis Yosef, and Simon Tafre Shadi Beis explains why do we have five different Lashonos, Harav, Hadon, Hanokim, Mamishale, Manifra. So he says, sometimes Zumos Ha'olam have problems with Klal Yisrael for no reason. They just decide to attack Klal Yisrael, and that's Haraves Rivenu, that they shouldn't do bad to us for no reason. Sometimes they do bad with a Taina. They have a Taina that we persecuted them, that we did something wrong. Hadanas Dinenu, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu should judge the case favorably in our favor when there is a case. And third, sometimes says that they do bad for Klal Yisrael because of the sins that Klal Yisrael has done, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu is allowing them to impact us because of our sins. So no kemis nikmasenu, that after we already got the proper onesh, they always keep on going. The Yom HaSolim continue to persecute us. So no kemis nikmasenu, Hashem should take the nekama. And then there are two different types of guys. Some are oivim belevin nefesh, and all day they're just looking for opportunities to do bad things to the Jewish people. So we say, Amishalim gmul l'chol oivin afshenu. The gmul is that which you should respond in kind, mida keneged mida, to what they've done to us. And some don't do bad to us because they hate us, it's just because they don't know any different. Their whole way of life is evil. Their whole way of life is destruction. They're not even, it's not about hurting us, it's just about that's all they know. So about them, it's hanifalonu mitzarenu. There's no mida keneged mida you have to worry about. They don't have any das, there's no tvuna, there's no, you're not dealing with bnei adam. So then it's just, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nifalonu mitzarenu. And some enemies are all of the above. Okay, Rava Amar Akela Moshiach. Rava says that the bracha should be Akela Moshiach. Amrav Papa Hilkach Nimrinu L'Travayu. Baruch Ata Hashem Hanifli Yisrael Mikol Tzareim Hakela Moshiach. Therefore, we included all in the Nusach HaBracha. B'Sheni U'B'Chamishi B'Shabbos Mincha Koren Shlosha. We said Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha, three Aliyos. Hani Shlosha Kenegan Mi. Why three? Amrav Asi Kenegan Torah Nevi M'Ksuvim. So it's Kenegan corresponds to Torah Nevi M'Ksuvim. Rava Amar Kenegan Kanam Levi Yisraelim corresponds to Kohen Levi Yisrael. That's why we give the aliyos to a Kohen, a Levi, and Yisrael. That's not why. It's because you have to be mechabit the Kohen, but it fits. The Elahad the Tanya of Simi ain polchsim neyud psukin bebeis haknesses vaydaber olam in a minion hani asar connected me. So that explains the three aliyos. But there's another halacha that you have to have at least 10 psukim every time you lane from the Torah. Tos points out almost every time there is the kriya of Parshas Malik on Purim morning where it's only 9 psukim, but since it's such a perfect self-contained unit, that's exactly 9 psukim, we stick with it. But generally speaking, you need to have at least 10 psukim from the Torah. So why 10? So different possibilities, 3 possibilities, 4 possibilities. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, can I get Asara Batlanim Shem Beis HaKnesses? 10 corresponding to the Asara Batlanim that are in a shul in any big city. Rav Yosef Amar, can I get Asara Sadibros Shem Amar L'Moshe B'Sinai? That it relates to the Asara Sadibros. Now, potentially number 3 in the parentheses, Rav Levi Amar, can I get Asara Hilulin Shamar David B'Sefer Tilim? It relates to the 10 Hilulim that David HaMel said in Sefer Tilim. The reason this might not be the Girsa is that it says in Rosh Hashanah that we have 10 psukim of Malchios keneged asara hilulin of David, and the hilulin refer to the psukim of Tehillim that talk about tekab shofar, that talk about blowing shofar. So what does that have to do with us? So it must be, if you are goresis, you have to talk about different hilulim. We're not sure which hilulim it's talking about. Rabbi Yochanan Amar keneged asara ma'amaros sheben nivra olam, corresponding to the 10 ma'amaros that the world was created with. Hey ninhu vayomer debereshis hani tishavu. If you count the ma'amaros that it says in Maisa Bereshis, there are only 9. There aren't 10. So Bereshis nami maimerhu. The Bereshis itself is also a maimer. D'chsiv b'dvar Hashem shamayim nasu uvurach piv kol tzvam. Amar Rava, Rishon shekar dal meshubach, Sheni shekar dal meshubach, Shlishi shekar dal meshubach. If you have 10 psukim and 3 alleles, it's obviously not going to divide evenly. Someone's reading 4 psukim. So Rava says it doesn't matter who. They're all great. Whoever reads 4 psukim is fantastic. Rishon shekar dal meshubach d'tanan. How do I know that it's good to honor the first one with the extra pasuk? Because it says in the Mishnah, B'sholos Kupa, Sholos Sin, Sheben, Tomer, Nesalishcha, there were 3 boxes where they would keep the money for the for the Karbanos HaTzibur, Vayukasav Alein, and the boxes were written on them, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Leida, Ezumei, Nitzron, Mishon, Lahakriv, Menor, Rishon, Shemitzvah, Berishon, to let us know which one the monies came in first for, so you can use those first, because it's good to honor the first ones. So that's how you see first is good. Amtsai Shekar Abraham Meshubach, the middle is also great, Detanya, El Mul, Pnei HaMenorah, Ye'iru, Melamechem, Matzadid, Pnei HaM, Klapi, Ner Ma'aravi, that all the Neros face toward the middle Ner, Ner Ma'aravi, Klapi, Shechina, and the Ner Ma'aravi face toward the Shechina. So you see that the middle there, that the middle thing is very good. And when the last Ola reads for Pesukim, it's also Meshubach Mishum Malim Bekodesh V'lo Maridin. You always want to go up in Kedusha, so let the last one be the one to read for Pesukim. Rav Papa Yichlu Beknisha Dabi Gover. Rav Papa went to the Beis Haknesses of Abi Gover, the name of the town. V'kara Rishon Arba V'Shivchei Rav Papa. And they had the first guy read for Pesukim, and Rav Papa said that's fantastic. Maybe he would have said the same thing if the second guy and third guy would have read it also, but he said it when the first guy read it. Okay, but we'll pick up the two dots tomorrow.